Our text this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, and I will be reading the verses 9 through 25. Exodus 19, the verses 9 through 25. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. The Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud, so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, Be careful that you do not go up to the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on him. Whether man or animal, he shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they go up to the mountain. After Moses had gone down to the mountain to the people, he consecrated them, and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, Prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, Go down and warn the people so that they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them. Moses said to the Lord, The people cannot come up Mount Sinai, because you yourself warned us, put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy. The Lord replied, Go down and bring Aaron up with you. But the priests and the people must not force their way through to come up to the Lord, or he will break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. That's the reading of God's word this morning. In last week's sermon, we pointed out that as Israel stands before Mount Sinai in the last part of the book of Exodus, Moses goes up to meet with God 8 different times. And each time that Moses comes down from his meeting with God, Moses has something new about God's covenant to reveal to them. It is not a new covenant. It is not a different covenant. It is a different aspect of this covenant that Moses is revealing to the people that God wants them to know. He will come down and reveal the moral law. Another time he will come down and reveal the civil laws. Another time he will come down and reveal the priesthood and what that entails. Another time he will come down and reveal instructions for building the tabernacle. Each time God has a different message for his people. Each time Moses comes down, he brings down something else for the people to know and to understand from their God. And last week, at the beginning of this chapter, we read of the covenant being proposed. At the end of verse 3, God tells Moses to say this to the people, This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I have carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possessions. all throughout, although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Details of the covenant are not given, but a proposal of what God wants his people to know, that he has saved them, that they are required to keep his covenant and his laws, and that if they do this, they will be his treasured possession. The details are not given at the beginning of the chapter, just the basic covenant plan. And after the people answer that they will obey this covenant, Moses goes to meet with God again. In the rest of this chapter, God has something else for his people Israel to know. God has something else about himself that he desires to reveal to them that they must understand and they must know. In chapter 20, Moses will reveal to the people God's moral law. What is required of someone who knows God? What God is in all of his holiness and his perfection? How they should live their lives in a morally correct way before him. But before God can tell his people the Ten Commandments that he has for them to obey and to follow, God must first reveal who he is and his holiness. In verse 16, we read that on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. God is to beginning to reveal his holiness, his perfection, his awesome glory before his people. And the trumpet blast is summoning the people to meet their God. When they hear this trumpet blast, they are required to go out before the mountain and to stand before this God who has rescued them and who has delivered them from the land of Egypt. And in verse 17, we read what happens. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from the mountain like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. God's people, just delivered from the land of Egypt, are now trembling before him. For God has revealed to his people his holiness, his awesome glory. This is not the first time in the book of Exodus that God has appeared at Mount Sinai. Before, in Exodus chapter 3, Moses goes to Mount Sinai and God appears to him in the form of a burning bush and he speaks to him. But this time, as God appears on the mountain, he has a different message for the people of Israel. And that message is that he is holy, that they are sinners, that they cannot come to a holy God because they are sinners in the hands of a God that is angry at sin and seeks to destroy sin. And so as these sinners stand before Mount Sinai, where God is, they stand before a mountain which is on fire, which is trembling, which smoke is billowing up from. They stand before thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over it, and the trumpet is getting louder and louder and louder. They must keep their distance from this God. In verse 12, we read that God has told them through Moses that they must put limits around the mountain so the people cannot go there. The people must be told, be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on him, whether man or animal. He shall not be permitted to live. These people cannot approach the holiness of God. God is revealing to them His perfection, His glory, His holiness, and they, as sinners standing before Him, know that they must not touch this mountain or go near Him, or they, as sinners, will be destroyed. There is a separation between God and His people. Here they are, delivered from Egypt, coming out to meet their God. And their thinking is that their gods will probably be like all the gods of all the other nations, where in a form of creation, these gods can appear and perhaps interact in their lives. And suddenly they stand before this mountain, and it is shaking. There is a distance between them and their God. They must not go near Him. They must not dare to speak with Him or touch Him. They must stand at a distance or face death. So what does God do? Verse 9. The Lord said to Moses, I am going to come to you in a dense cloud, so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. As God appears to His people before this mountain, in all of His holiness, in all of His glory and awesome power, God puts the focus on His mediator. The people cannot speak to God. Moses, as their mediator, can speak to God. God cannot speak to the people because the people are afraid. The people cannot go to their God because there is a distance, because He is holy, because Moses and the people are sinners. And so God has a plan. As the people stand before this mountain, afraid and frightened, they look to Moses, God's chosen, appointed mediator. And what does he do? Look at the end of verse 19. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. They cannot speak to God, but Moses can speak to God. They cannot understand God out of fear of Him and His glory and His holiness, but Moses can understand God. And Moses can bring the message from God to them. And then in verse 20, look what else happens. The Lord descended to the top of the Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, go down and warn the people so that they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Here is a mountain on which God is present, a mountain in which the people are trembling before as they come before Him. And the people watch as Moses goes and climbs the mountain. As Moses goes up to where God is, in the midst of the cloud, in the midst of the thunder and the lightning, in the midst of a mountain that is shaking, Moses, their representative, goes on this mountain and talks and meets with God. The people cannot do it, but Moses can. This Moses could do a lot of things. This Moses can speak to God for the people. This Moses can hear and understand God and tell the people what God says. This Moses can stand on a holy mountain and not be destroyed. This Moses can climb into the smoke and into the cloud and not be destroyed as he meets with God. Moses can do a lot of things. But there's one thing that Moses cannot do. He cannot bring the people to God. Moses can give orders that the people be consecrated. In verse 10, we read that the Lord had said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes." And so Moses does this, and the people wash their clothes. Later on, in verse 15, we read that Moses tells the people to abstain from sexual relations as they prepare to stand before a holy God. But Moses cannot bring the people on the mountain to God. They are sinners in the hands of an angry God, and they must not touch this mountain or they face death and die. Even as Moses goes up there, after God has made this appearance, the first thing that God says to him on the mountain, once again in verses 20 through 22, is another warning. "Go down and warn the people so that they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them." Moses can consecrate the people outwardly, but Moses cannot change their hearts. They are about to receive the moral law of God. For them to approach God and enter His presence, they must obey and keep all of these commands. Moses cannot do that for the people. They must remain at a distance. They must not approach Him, or they face death. That task is left for another. For God would send another mediator, another one who would come for the people. And He would come and obey this law. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would keep this law. He would live out these commandments. He would live out this righteousness. He would come and reveal the words of God to His people on this earth. And as He walked this earth, the people that knew Him and saw Him did not have to keep their distance. There was the woman who was bleeding, and she reached out and touched Him, and she was healed. The leper who saw Him and who spoke to Jesus, whom Jesus lifted His hand as the paralyzed person arose. Jesus comes and He brings the grace of God. Jesus comes so that the people can approach God and hear His voice and know what He is saying. And Jesus went to the cross to pay for the sins of His people. Jesus knew that they were sinners in the hands of an angry God. Jesus knew that a penalty must be paid for those people to enter into His presence and to go where God is. Jesus, as a suffering servant, went to that cross. All of God's wrath for the sins of all of His people was poured out upon Him as He suffered and died. There was thunder and lightning as He lay on the cross. There was darkness throughout all of the earth. The earth shook when He died. God has sent someone greater than Moses. God has sent someone who can do what Moses could not do. Someone who could pay for the sins of His people. Someone who could bring these sinners to God. The author of Hebrews writes about this in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read of two mountains. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. Listen to what God's word tells us. "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a great voice speaking words, so that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The author of Hebrews is telling God's people of all the ages that Jesus has done something much greater than Moses. That Jesus, by his death, by his resurrection, by his righteousness, has brought you not to Mount Sinai, but to Mount Zion, to the place where God is. He sits at the right hand of God, and he listens as God's people pray to him. He listens to their requests. He stands before the throne of God where God is, and he brings his people there to that place as holy. The author of Hebrews tells us that it is to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. Jesus changes hearts. Jesus credits his righteousness to his people so that they can enter into the presence of a holy God, so that even today as they come to Mount Sinai, even here, yet on this earth, God's people can and are in his presence forever. But what does that mean? Does that mean then that this Mount Sinai that Israel has stood before in fear has expired? Does that mean that this mountain is no longer there, that this is an old story that has nothing to do with us? My friends, that mountain still stands. And the law that was given at that mountain still stands. It has not been expired. It is still God's requirement. Those commandments are still what God requires of people on this earth. And anyone that does not know Christ, anyone who does not know the blood of Christ, which has paid for their sins by his death and his resurrection, anyone who does not know his righteousness, does not come to Mount Zion. They come to the mountain at Sinai. They stand before a God who is angry at sin, who is angry at sinners, and seeks to destroy sin, and seeks to destroy those who are sinners without Christ. That law is still in effect. God is still holy. His trumpet is still blasting. His thunder and lightning is still over the place where he is. His holiness is still present. And those who do not know him will not have a chance to keep a distance. They will be summoned and destroyed. Revelation chapter 7 looks into the future and describes for us, chapter 8, and describes for us a picture of the trumpet blast, which is still to come. Revelation chapter 8, verse 6 tells us, then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up, and the third of the trees were burned up, and the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. A third angel sounded his trumpet, and the great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky in a third of the rivers on the springs of the water. The name of the star is Wormwood, and the third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. A fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and the third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark, and a third day was without light, and also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels." And a fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. And when he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of it, the smoke of locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of the scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any of the plant or the tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given the power to kill them, but only the power to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. We do not have time to read all of this, but there will be another trumpet blast. The trumpet blast heard on Sinai is a trumpet blast that is still to come. And the trumpet blast is a blast which will bring judgment and will bring grace. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, listen to what God says. Jesus is preaching about the end of the age, and it tells us, "At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other." This trumpet blast will do two things. It will bring a summon for all of God's people as they go to be with God forever. And it will bring judgment to all of the peoples of the earth who do not know God, who do not have Christ, and they will suffer and suffer and be destroyed at God's holiness. The story of Mount Sinai is a story that has happened and is yet to happen. It is a story which is still to be completely fulfilled in the future. It is a story in which we as God's people must prepare. God told Moses to have the people do two things: to wash their clothes and to abstain from sexual relations. They washed their clothes because as they stood before God, God's people must be clean. What about you? Do we need to wash our clothes? Christ has washed you. He's done that part. As God's people enter his presence, his blood washes you not just outwardly clean, but inwardly clean, and you stand before him someday wearing white. And Moses also required that they abstain from sexual relations. Why? Some commentators say that's because maybe that is something that's dirty. That's not why. God's people had to prepare like they were in heaven. When you are with God, there is no marriage. When you are with God, all of his people become one with him. All of his people are with him. And as the people prepared to meet him at Mount Sinai, they must be prepared to give up their earthly things and live and enjoy him and nothing else. As God's people, you must also prepare to be with God. You must live in the righteousness of Christ and in the joy of his cleansing blood. You must give up all earthly things and all earthly pleasures and live as you would live with him forever and ever. The things that we have on this earth are temporary. The things that are eternal are forever. As we continue to enjoy some of our earthly things, let us have our hearts be on the eternal. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that as your people approach you this morning, we know of the Lord Jesus who has brought us to Mount Zion. We know that in him, he has done what Moses could never do. He has brought those who love him and know of his blood into your presence. Lord, as your people, help us to live as if we are in your presence. Help us as your people to live out what is in our hearts and what Jesus has put there. And Lord, we pray that you would help us as your people not to fall into the things that those who do not know you do. But may we be prepared to give up our earthly life so that we may enjoy you more. And Lord, we pray for those who do not know you, who do not know this blood. For as we have seen this morning, Lord, they will face a terrible eternal destiny. And we pray, Lord, that you would use us to work in the hearts of others, that we, as your witnesses here on this earth, may spread your word and the message of Jesus to those who do not know you, so that they too may come to Mount Zion. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.